I've never heard that before, and it. My sense is that Paul, that his complimenting reggae music there was not sincere. I could be mistaken. I don't, Paul and I have never talked about Bob Marley or Peter Tosh or any of it. So I didn't know that you had the, you hate reggae music, Paul? Is that what I'm getting here?
That second person you mentioned, I never even heard of. So,
well, I could go way deeper than Peter Tosh, believe me. I want to talk about the Toots and the Maytals here. I'll stop.
If you want to go to Peter Tork, I know him, but I don't know.
See, now I don't know who that is. I'm kidding. Paul Hambleton joining us here on the Western Hotline on WGR. But I feel kind of like an idiot. It was Football Friday, like burying the Sabres until 6 o'clock tonight. And it came up a couple of times during the first 3 hours of the show, Paul. I'll ask you. I thought it was a tremendous night. Did you feel the same?
Yeah, probably wasn't quite as good as the game before, but it was a darn good game. I mean, the New York Rangers, talking to some of the reporters before the game, before the game even started, they said the Rangers are a little bit on autopilot, you know, and their goaltender has stolen them. One said, you know, their goaltender has 6 wins, and he's 4 of those he probably stole from the other team, that they really weren't that good. But he just stole the game for him. Now, he certainly didn't steal the game for him last night. He was one of the reasons why they got behind. But they certainly weren't playing all that well anyway in front of him. But he certainly wasn't good either. But Buffalo, earned what they got. It didn't really matter if maybe the Rangers aren't quite as good defensively and, you know, didn't play whatever. You still have to go out there and work hard to be able to beat them anyway, and that's what the Sabres did, and they did the right things. One thing that was really concerning when they were losing 3 in a row was their attention to detail. I mean, just, you know, they seemed oblivious to people being wide open behind them for breakaways and, things like that. And it wasn't just one guy. And now... It seems like something that Lindy Ruff has really worked on. I mean, you know, the first goal was because, you know, you've got a guy who knows where to dump the puck in, so the guy with the speed can get there with Greenway and then McLeod, and you get a forecheck going immediately, and next thing you know, puck's in the net. But none of that happens if Greenway doesn't put the puck exactly where it needs to be, so Ryan McLeod can use his speed to get there and get in on and retrieve the puck and get in on that forecheck. So it was just plays, like heady plays like that, making sure the Rangers didn't penetrate into the slot area. Rangers had a lot of zone time in that first period, but did they have really any chances? Just one. They had one really good chance on the delayed penalty, and that was it. I mean, the Sabres made sure that they knew the Rangers were looking for that backdoor play and looking to get guys to the slot and just say, okay, if you want to just have the puck around the perimeter and pass it around, go ahead. You can do that. But we're not going to let you get inside. And that's what they did. I mean, and that's heady play right there, you know, making sure that, hey, you know, you're not going to be able to do that to us. And I thought they did a nice job.
Yeah, I was really pleased with their overall game. I mean, I think the Rangers are a team that can, when they're going, and I respect that they haven't been going all that well a lot this year. You use the phrasing autopilot. But that's a dangerous offensive team. And the Sabres, I thought, just did a really nice job overall. And then, of course, you know, buried their chances and chased Shesterkin like they did. And that started in the second period with the Cousins goal, Paul. What a welcome. Like, is it just that Benson's healthy now? Like, Quinn looked to me better than he's looked all year, too. Like, just moving around the ice. I've been really worried. We asked Kevin Adams last week about him and his skating specifically and whether, you know, the two injuries from last year are still, you know, lingering in some way, just isn't all the way back. And he said a lot of words, but none of them were no. Like, he didn't rule out that line of thinking, that Quinn has had a struggle to be physically where he needs to be. I thought he looked better moving around the ice, not just the production, of course, that matters too. But boy, to see those plays, do you think Benson just made the impact because he's finally healthy and maybe that line can get in the air now?
Absolutely. I mean, you saw what he could do when he is healthy, and he was the number one star of the game, deservedly so. And talking to him afterwards, he said, look, we just sat down yesterday as a line and talked. And he said, the biggest thing that they talked about is being out of sync as a line. And that's really where they felt they had to, you know, get back to, is get on the same page. And I thought they did a nice job of forechecking. That's the reason Cousins scored that goal. Cousins started the forecheck. But before it was over, each guy had the puck as they did the cycle and got in on the forecheck. And, you know, Cousins started it, but he didn't sit there and admire it. He went to the open area and gave Benson a place to go with the puck. And now he's in the open area on the left circle. Now, Shesterkin, of course, wants to have that back. He wants to make that save. He probably makes it 999 times out of 1,000. But he didn't. And, you know, it was put away. And it was, just a nice, hard-earned goal by the Sabres.
Right. And then later on, we got a Benson goal at the goal mouth off a beautiful feed from Quinn. Now, that was on a power play, so yeah, maybe not as impressive. But still, the fact that the second power play unit got that goal was maybe notable, considering the, you know, kind of struggles they had to start the year with both power play units.
Well, coming in for five games, they were on a 29% clip on the power play after being zero before that. So, and, you know, that didn't hurt them. They went war for four, so that's 25%. So it probably came down a shade. But still, I mean, you know, now the power play is starting to click a little bit. And again, it was hard work by Quinn, as you talked about, along the wall to get the puck. And he got Benson heading to the net. And a perfect pass to him that he can convert.
We should probably spend the rest of our time together today talking about Jason Zucker, because I don't think I've said his name to you since he's been here, Paul. But there's always a danger with a guy that's at the stage of his career that he's at, that the cliff is coming and you're buying the cliff. Like, right? It's just, you know, it could be trouble, an older guy. But man, he's producing, and I feel like that they're getting what they're getting from him. He feels very much to me like a guy the Sabres very rarely get, like just a solid pro NHL free agent that is willing to come here. And I don't know what his marketplace was like, but and it was not the most exciting signing, but holy cow, has he been a perfect fit.
Because he puts the work in, you know, both on and off the ice. And, you know, Lindholm was over on the wall on the Greenway goal, and he just went over there and took the puck from him. Simple as that. He was too casual, and Zucker said, "All right, you want to be casual? I'll take the puck, and I'm going to head to the net with it, and Greenway's going to head to the net with it on a 2-on-1. By the time it was over, Greenway hit a layup, and winds up scoring on the play. So. And, you know, when the Sabres didn't have any power play goals, who scored the first two?
Right. Zucker.
He probably wasn't on your bingo card as the guy that was going to break through with the first two goals. But yet there he was. Why? Because he was around the net. And he tipped one out of the air. And when you're around the net, good things are going to happen for you. And he's always going to be around the net, always is around the net. He's always going to be a guy that is in on the forecheck. It's not the biggest thing in the world, but he wins battles. You hear Lindy Ruff talking about winning those one-on-one battles, those 50-50 battles. Well, there's a guy that wins them. He finds a way to get in there and win them. And he's a good example for some of the other players.
Yeah, that is just a really – it strikes me here as we're talking about Zucker and that entire line with McLeod in the middle and Greenway on the other side – Paul, like that as a, I know how you feel about numbering lines, okay, but if you allow for the Thompson and Cousins lines to be the top offensive lines, a third line, and the Sabres had a fourth line, many Oposo, Gergensons, that, you know, held their own to some extent. They didn't produce much, but they did well in a lot, some of the advanced metrics. I feel like that third line of solid NHL guys is just something. It's usually been sort of an island of misfit toys. It's a kid who can't break through to the top six yet, but ultimately belongs there, so he's miscast in some other role, and I don't know, it feels kind of like a spare part area, and this feels like a very intentional decision to build that line, especially, of course, the trade to acquire McLeod. It's really something they've been lacking for, I want to look around, Paul, 10 years, 15 years? I feel like it's been forever since they've had that kind of a third line.
Well, some of the comments I saw, you would have thought Savoy was already in the Pro Hockey Hall of Fame. It's like Savoy may turn into a very good hockey player. We don't know. He may never make it. We don't know. So this is the type of player in McLeod that they needed, and that was the price. You got a skater that probably is only second to Connor McDavid in speed, and can absolutely fly, and is a good, very good two-way player who is added to the offense around. I mean, actually, if you're numbering lines, that's the second line.
Right.
If you want to get down to numbers, maybe that wasn't the intention, but that's plain and simply has been the second line if you're numbering lines. So, you know, that's why a lot of coaches don't. Because coaches, they pretty much are looking for pairs. And then they put a third guy on a line to try to make a line. And some nights you might say so-and-so is on the second line. And other nights, depending on, well, this line is the second line or whatever. So they're basically looking for lines. And they coach in certain situations throughout the game, and one line might get more ice time in a game because they're going.
I've been wanting to say something about Greenway to you that I hope makes sense, because I think he's been a player that also, like, I've had my moments with him, like, what's he doing on the power play last year type of things, right? Where I just feel like he's somewhat miscast. I think he is a player that on his own to me is not like a meter mover, not a difference maker. But if you have the top end of your roster in good shape and you're like a good team, I feel like he does all the stuff that helps a good team be even better. You know what I mean? Like he's a dirty work animal kind of guy. And I really feel like I noticed this last year when they had their head above water late in the season and they were, you know, trying to get in the race or actually were in the race. I feel like they're just right side of pucks and clearing the zone and winning battles and blocking shots. Like, he's just not a guy that's going to get a lot of glory, I don't think, and he's an easy target if you feel like your team's getting pushed around because how come he's not beating people up or that kind of thing. I think he's a really useful part on a good team.
I'm sure you heard me say last year, I'd say I'd take three of them, people like Jordan Greenway. There's nobody I've seen on this team, and very few around the NHL, that can get into the zone and cause turnovers like he does. That's why Tage Thompson likes playing with him a lot, because that gives Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch, when they're together, more opportunity, because this guy's in there forechecking. He gets in there quickly. He's very smart in the angles that he takes, and you put it all together, he winds up forcing the other team into turning the puck over, and that serves up more opportunities for his team. Is he going to score 20 goals? I doubt it. I mean, I guess you'd never say never, but that's not what he's here for. Tage Thompson, Alex Tuch, and J.J. Paterka, they're here to score the goals. Jordan Greenway is here to – he's probably one of the best penalty killers, not only on the Sabres, but in the NHL, with, again, the way he anticipates plays, with his reach, with willingness to block shots. He just seems to be in the right place at the right time. I asked him once, I go, sometimes I think you know what the other team's going to do before they know what they're going to do. As I watch him, you know, get in there and do things, it's like he's already cut the playoff and the other team hasn't figured out that that's where they're going yet, and then they go there. He's just so good at things like that.
Yeah.
He's good at things that others aren't. And when you put it all together, it fits in very well.
Paul, is it wrong to look at tomorrow's game as the exact kind of game this team has been unable to win the last few years? Like I think a 6-1 win in New York against the Rangers gets everyone's attention. If a 5-1 win at home on Tuesday doesn't against Ottawa, I think the Rangers on the road, like it's a more of a marquee kind of win. And now coming home Saturday afternoon, like LFG here, all right? Like let's go. Don't give me an egg laying tomorrow. How do you feel like that's fair?
Yeah, I mean, look at some of the wins they have. And this is something we've talked about. Remember, was it last year or the year before? They go into Colorado, they win a game. They go into Dallas and win a game. You know, they go into these hard places and win a game. And then they go and play the last place team and they lose 4-1. And it's like, what are you doing? And it started this year. They've beaten Florida. They've beaten Dallas. They've beaten the New York Rangers. And then they lose to the Islanders and Pittsburgh and Columbus. You know, and you're just like, what are you doing? Where are these guys? And that's one of the reasons why you have to go back to January of 2023 to find the last 4-game winning streak for this hockey team. And it was actually a 5-game winning streak. But then they did, even in that winning streak, what they do all the time. You know, they do well. And then they give it back.
Right.
Yeah, I think they went on a 4-game losing streak after that.
Right.
You know, so it was like, all right, well, you went and won 5 in a row, but what good did it do you? Because now you just lost whatever it was, 3 or 4 or 5 in a row then. And that's exactly what happened this year. It was like you're 4-1-1. You got a nice stretch going here. You're averaging 4.5 goals a game in those 6 games, which is second in the league. You're doing all right. And then you ruin it all by losing 3 in a row. And now you're back looking at, well, there's only one team in points percentage that's worse than this team. And now you win a couple of games. Can you beat the Calgary Flames? Now, can you go get that third one? And the Flames had a pretty good start to the year, but recently haven't been quite as good. But can you do it on Saturday? And maybe they're looking too far ahead, saying we got to start stacking a bunch of wins. We got to go win 6 or 7, and we can't do it. Just go win the third one. You know, go play like you had the last 2 games. And if you do, you probably have a pretty good chance of winning the hockey game unless you get goalied.
Right.
And figure that out. And once you get that win, all right, now go figure out Monday and see what you can do with that game. And I think maybe if you just do it that way, maybe you can start stacking some wins.
Right. All right, Paul, thanks a lot for this. Enjoy tomorrow. I'll be in there, so I'll try to wave.
Cool. Have fun.
All right. This is Paul Hamilton, and his appearances here on WGR are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, planning for your futures about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We're super late. Hurry. Play the picks open.
What if I did do it, even though I admit to nothing and never will? What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
See what I did here? I hid picks until the very end here. I hope that account that keeps track of this isn't thrown off. They go into the 6 o'clock hour looking for the recording of the picks. It's here. We're here. Only it's just me. I never heard from Mike. He's had the day off here today and yesterday. And so pay attention to your social media channels, and maybe you'll see Mike's picks that way. Mine, I'll just plow through them. No time for analysis here. College game, I'm taking Indiana. Sounds weird, I know, but they're good. -14.5 hosting Michigan. What? Yep, that's the way it works now. So Indiana, big favorite at home against the Wolverines. NFL-wise, I'm on the Lions -3.5 at the Texans. I'll take the Cardinals getting 1.5 hosting the Jets. I'll believe they're going to play two good games in a row when I see it, the Jets. Falcons minus 3.5 at the Saints. Oh, my gosh. The Saints are a graveyard. Eagles minus 7 at the Cowboys. I've really liked how the Eagles have been going lately. So no Dak Prescott, and I know they're getting Parsons back, but I like the Eagles there. So there you go. There's some football picks for you. We have to take a break, which means we will be back in a snap, which is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. Stay tuned. We'll get an update from Sal Capaccio right after our earlier conversation we'll have back for you with Sal previewing Sunday's game at Indy after this on WGR.